Commonwealth Baptist College. We are
the Voices of Melody. My, 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 what a joy to serve my Jesus. Oh, that I could explain the way I feel. Rejoicing in unspeakable joy and full of glory. It's amazing, but praise God, I know it's real.
Hi, I'm Elizabeth Gallison from the heart of New Jersey. I'll be a sophomore in the fall studying secondary education.
From Columbus, Ohio, my name is Kaylee LaPan, and I'll be a senior in the fall studying music.
I'm Tara Petko from Dubuque, Iowa, and I'll be a sophomore studying secondary education.
When I received salvation, I felt God's jubilation, for Jesus' blood washed all my sins away.
He gives me strength and power to stand in this life's hour. With all my heart and soul, I now can say, my, 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 what a joy to serve my Jesus. Oh, that I could explain the way I feel. Rejoicing in unspeakable joy and full of glory. It's amazing, but praise God, I know it's real.
Hello from Murfreesboro, Tennessee. My name is Rima Masarwa, and I'll be a master's student in the fall studying office administration.
Hi, I'm Abby Young from Lexington, Kentucky. I will be a junior in the fall studying secondary education.
Hi, I'm Abby Nash from Mechanicsville, Maryland. I'll be a junior in the fall studying elementary education, and it's great to have Sarah Faye Damaris at the piano. She's from Hazard, Kentucky, and she'll be a senior in the fall studying music.
Now Jesus is my Savior, He shows me love and favor, He's my Redeemer, Master, Lord, and King.
Now when I tell my story, I give God all the glory, He is my sword, my shield, my everything. My, 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 what a joy to serve my Jesus. Oh, that I could explain the way I feel. Rejoicing in unspeakable joy and full of glory. It's amazing, but praise God, I know it's real. It's real. My, 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 what a joy to serve my Jesus. Oh, that I could explain the way I feel. Rejoicing in unspeakable joy and full of glory. It's amazing, but praise God, I know it's real.
It's amazing, but praise God.
It's amazing, but praise God. It's amazing, but praise God. I know it's real.
Hi, my name is Abby Young. I'm the McDonald's cousin, and I'm from Lexington, Kentucky. I've had the privilege to grow up under the ministry of Claymore Baptist Church and our wonderful preacher, Pastor Jeff Fugit, since I was 5 years old. My family became very involved in all the ministries there. I was able to attend our Christian school all the way up to 12th grade and graduate from there. I was able to go to camp, sing in the choir, work in nurseries. And as I grew older, I knew the Lord was leading me to go to college at Commonwealth Baptist College. Not just because it was the place that was closest to my home or the place where my dad teaches, but because I want to work in a ministry someday. And what better place to learn than in a church that has so many ministries where you can get involved in. I love seeing every fall how our church tries to welcome in the new students. Our preacher does a wonderful job of making every student feel special and included. We try not to give them much of a chance to be homesick because we get them involved in the ministries. So if you're looking for a place that's still on fire for God where you can get involved, then Commonwealth is a great place to consider.
Blessed be the name of the Lord.
Rima Masarwa. Like I said, I'm from Murfreesboro, Tennessee. I got to come to your church last year, and I fell in love with it because you guys love the bus kids. And I'm a bus kid. I got to start going to church when I was 5 years old on the church van to Bellwood Baptist Church. And when I was 12 years old, my youth pastor and his wife took a group of teenagers to a camp in Mississippi. And that's when I got saved. And ever since then, it's been different. They started picking me up for church on Sunday nights and Wednesday nights, and they took me soul winning, and they taught me everything I knew. But one of the things I learned was how a real Christian family was. My family was Greek Orthodox, and they didn't go to church. And so I learned that I wanted to be in the full-time ministry like them, and I wanted to give my life to Christ. And when I was in the 10th grade, they took me to Commonwealth Baptist College to visit the school, and along with some other teenagers. And I saw that there was a place where you could go to train to serve God, and I wanted to do that. So when I graduated high school, my parents approved of it, and they let me go to Commonwealth for a year. And I did that, and I enjoyed it. And I went back home, and they asked me to work in my church. I was so excited, and I got to teach, and I got to work in, as secretary and do things like that. But one thing I learned was I needed the training for it. I didn't know how to do it. And so God gave me the opportunity to go back to college. And since then, I've taken classes such as student teaching, general teaching methods, child character training, things that will help me to be a better teacher or a better secretary. I'm going back for my master's in office administration now so I can know how to do that. So if you want to serve God, if you want to invest in others, and you want to be an influence in somebody's life like somebody was in mine, Commonwealth Baptist College is a great place.
There's a man who lives beside me. He fought in World War II. He proudly flies all glory from high across his roof. He starts out every morning like it's Independence Day.
Under God, I love this land. God bless America. gentle stranger who took me by the hand. And then I heard him whisper, I heard him call my name, and I knew with all my heart and soul I'd never more be the same. Well, I won't turn back no more till I reach heaven's shore.
My Lord
is walking with me.
I know
he's talking with me.
He said
he'd hold my hand
till I
reach the promised land. And I won't give up, I won't turn back, but I'll keep pressing on.
The load that once I carried is gone forevermore. My steps that once were feeble are bound for heaven's shore. I'll keep on climbing upward till I receive my crown. But until that happy, happy day, I just won't turn around.
Well,
I won't turn back no more till I reach heaven's shore.
My Lord
is walking with me.
I know
he's talking with me.
He said
he'd hold my hand
till I
reach the promised land. And I won't give up, I won't turn back, but I'll keep pressing on. He'll help me cross the valleys and climb the mountains tall. He'll never let me stumble, he'll never let me fall. I need to stay beside him till I reach heaven's ground. I won't look to the left, look to the right, never more turn around.
Well, I won't
turn back no more till I reach heaven's shore.
My Lord
is walking with me.
I know
he's talking with me.
He said
he'd hold my hand
till I
reach the promised land. And I won't give up, I won't turn back, but I'll keep pressing on.
And I won't give up, I won't turn back,
but I'll keep pressing on.
Hi, I'm Tara Petko, and I'm from Dubuque, Iowa. And I was saved at the age of 5 after a revival service in my church. And I was privileged to grow up in our Christian school from kindergarten through 12th grade. And I was also able to come to the Pilots Convention here in some of those years. And that was really, really special. That was, I recognize some of you from competition, but that was fun. But after I graduated from high school, I really wanted to go to a college that had the same Bible principles and standards that I was, you know, used to and grown up with. And so Commonwealth had been recommended to me, but the distance really made me hesitate. And so I counseled with my pastor and my youth pastor, actually Brother Griffin, Scott Griffin, and we kind of decided that Commonwealth was where we thought God wanted me to go. And so when I got on campus, all of my fears went away. And like we've said earlier in the service, that the campus really is just one big family, and they welcomed me right in and made me feel right at home. And the staff and the students, you know, are just really accessible and very friendly. And that's been a really great opportunity. I've made so many friends since then. And I've also been able to work in the many ministries that the college provides. And one of those is the Bhutan Ministry. And that is a bus route that ministers to the people of Bhutan and Nepal. And those are countries north of India. And that's been a great opportunity for someone like me who's interested in missions, because I get to work with people of a different culture who speak a different language to get a feel for what it's going to be like out on the field. And that's been a great opportunity. And Commonwealth is just a friendly family atmosphere, and I hope you'll pray about joining our family at Commonwealth Baptist College.
But you have sent him from your side to walk upon this guilty sod and to become the Lamb of God. Your gift of love they crucified, they mocked and scorned him as he died.
The humble king they named a fraud.
Christ, the Lamb of God.
For the opportunity to be here. Did I turn the right buttons on this? Am I on that? Good. And I'll stay on that. Again, it is a blessing to be here. You look at us, you say, well, you know, you'd think they'd get, you know, look a little bit fancier or something tonight. This morning we were under a tent. Saturday night, Sunday morning, we were under a tent over in Indiana. And I think the weather.com said it was 88 outside. Today and very humid over there, and that was outside on the tent. It was probably 95 or so, and so anyhow, we don't look probably quite as sharp as we maybe would have otherwise, but at least we got an excuse. You know, I don't know what's wrong with the rest of you folks, but anyhow, you know, and you go through cycles. We've been traveling, as I mentioned, 10 years now, different groups, and you know, sometime early on, you know, we started saying, well, you know, you're college ladies now, you don't sweat, you know, you perspire. And that's the word you're supposed to use, you perspire, not sweat. And then we had a group that said, no, we don't perspire, we glisten. And I thought, oh, well, that's interesting. And then next year they said, no, we don't perspire, we don't glisten, we sparkle. And I thought, oh, that's good. Now, 95 or so, humid under the tent. We don't perspire. We don't glisten. We don't sparkle. We just sweat. And so, but anyhow, we're here, and it is a blessing. Thank, appreciate the air conditioning and that it's working here. If you're able and would like, why don't you stand as I read a couple verses of scripture? Can I move it there? Is that okay? I'm not. Hurting it. I'm not doing it. I can see my notes better that way, and I'm on this anyhow. So, and at my age, you know, it's just nice to be able to see everything. Psalm 108, if you turn over there, and we won't keep you all night long here. Going to try and get you out about regular time and have plenty of time for preaching to do that. David writes in Psalm 108 and verse 1, O God, my heart is fixed. I will sing and give praise even with my glory. Awake, psaltery and harp. I myself will awake early. I will praise thee, O Lord, among the people. I will sing praises unto thee among the nations. Then if you want to turn back to Psalm 57 and verse 7, you've got about the same thing there where David writes under inspiration of the Holy Spirit, of course, my heart is fixed, O God, my heart is fixed. I will sing and give praise. Let's pray. Father, thank you for the opportunity to preach tonight. Thank you for the Word of God, that we have a copy of it. Thank you that, Holy Spirit, it's pray that you would work in lives tonight as I speak to ears. Thank you for the opportunity to stand again to preach your Word. Thank you for this great church and all it represents. Pray that you'd bless tonight. Help us each to gain something and be a little closer to you at the end, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. You can go ahead and be seated. I'd like to have you stand, at least to be sure you're awake at the beginning of the message. But anyhow, I'm going to take that phrase, and I'll use other scripture through the message. That phrase there in Psalm 108, verse 1, and Psalm 57:7, where David writes and says, O God, my heart is fixed. It's made up. It's definite. I've got my mind made up. My feet are on the rock. I'm not changing. My heart is fixed. And I'd like to suggest to you tonight that America needs some churches in this day and age that would say, God, our heart is fixed on some things. things changing all over the country, things changing, certainly out in the world. They don't know anything anymore. It seems like nobody's certain of anything much. But we need some churches that would say, God, our heart is fixed on some things. Even in fundamentalism or independent Baptist ranks, you got people changing and going this and that and adjusting this and trying to be more seeker friendly and everything else. We need some churches that would say, God, our heart is fixed on some things. And then churches need deacons and Sunday school teachers and members and choir members and folks that would say, God, our heart is fixed on some things. I got my mind made up. It's just settled. And, today in this day and age, the whole theme seems to be, keep an open mind about everything. And don't be too sure you know anything. This might be right. That might be right. Anybody might be right. I got a lot of this, this weekend, I guess. And, you travel like this. I was trying to count here. I think it's going to be 19 nights in a row that we're in a different bed every night. And moving around the country. And we're in the middle. I know it's been a long time, more than 2 weeks since I slept in this. I did get back to my bed at home one night. For about 21 hours we were in Lexington, and a couple of those I was able to get. But, you move around like this, and I don't follow all the news, and you can't keep up with all of it. But I think, Gay Pride Week or Day or something like that, big emphasis on that now. And, we're supposed to say, well, that may be okay, and it may be right, or this may be right, or that may be right. But, look, we need to have our mind made up about some things and say some things are right, some things are wrong. And that's all there is to it. You go to that crowd, and it seems like the only thing that, the world is sure of is that we independent fundamental Baptists are wrong. You'd think if maybe the Muslims are right, the world would tell you, and maybe the Hindus are right, maybe the, this group or that group may be right. Then, sometimes we say, well, do you think maybe then we independent fundamental Baptists might be right? Oh, no. We're sure that's wrong. The idea that you can only get to heaven by trusting Jesus as your Savior, and that if you don't trust Christ as your Savior, you're on your way to hell, and that there is an inspired book given by God, and we're supposed to base our life on it. That can't be wrong. That can't be right, is what they say. But anything else, pretty much, that might be. Keep an open mind, they tell you. But you ought to have your heart fixed on some things. David writes, says, God, my heart is fixed. Some of you, I've been in Bible college work 46 years. A lot of you know me. And 13 years here with Brother Fugit in Lexington. Well, in Lexington with Brother Fugit, not here in Lexington for 13 years. Been in Bible college work 46 years. And, academics and this kind of thing. But, you ought to have your mind made up. I graduated from big public high school, wasn't right with God when I finished high school, up in Racine, Wisconsin. And, it's hard for me to come into that under that bear sign there, being from Wisconsin, being a Packer fan and all that. But, graduated large public high school, got a full academic scholarship, and from a place where my dad worked, and went off to Princeton University many years ago. And graduated from Princeton, and it was a tradition of the university at that time at least that the president of the university gave the commencement address. Robert Goheen was president of Princeton University then, and gave the commencement address. Basically, the theme of it was, gentlemen, school was all men back then, don't be too sure that anything you've learned here in these 4 years is necessarily true. And I thought, wow, somebody paid, I didn't pay, I had a scholarship, but somebody paid a whole lot of money, and I studied an awful lot of hours to learn a whole bunch of stuff that they weren't even sure was true. Because, he said truth. I'm going to grab my water down here. He said truth is always changing, and you can't know anything for sure. And, it's all up and down and so on and so on. Last sentence of the commencement address was something like, I hope you'll find what I've said today to be at least 95% accurate. And anyhow, let me get a swallow of this and make me easier to listen to. And but anyhow, you know, you ought to have some things in your mind that you say, no, that's it. My mind's made up. Not going to reinvestigate it. Don't need to. I've already got the answer. I've taught a lot of the courses, 46 years. I've taught a lot of different classes. Many of them I've taught again and again. I'm still teaching personal finance. How many of you had me for personal finance back in the day? A lot of you. And so I'll look at my last year's test to make up this year's test. And when I do that, sometimes I'll say, oh, man, that's question 43. That was a good question, but I forgot to cover that this year. Maybe once a year I'll find a question like that. Forgot, but it's a good question. So I'll put the question in there and fill in the answer for them because I know I didn't cover it, but I want them to see it and get it, and I figure that way they'll learn it. I can put it on the final. And so I'll fill it in, put the answer in. I'll tell them, you know, everybody's got number 43, free question. And wouldn't it be dumb if somebody said, I don't think that's the right answer. I'm changing it. Why would you do that? So you got to have an open mind, Brother George. I said, why? You don't need an open mind. You got the answer. You and I don't need an open mind about some things. We got the answer. You want to drive a Ford or a Chevy. You want to pick the Bears or the Packers. I don't know if you can be open-minded about that or not. But, my wife wants to redecorate the house. I don't care. I'm open-minded. But when it comes to things that are set forth in the Word of God, we ought to have our heart fixed. Say, what kind of things are you talking about? I'm talking about the Bible, the Word of God itself. I mean, my heart is fixed on my King James Bible. It just is. And I believe that it's God's preserved, that it's the inspired, infallible, preserved Word of God. Patrick Henry said a long time ago, give me liberty or give me death. Those are Patrick Henry breathed words. As long as they're repeated, printed, reprinted, translated, retranslated, every time somebody says, give me liberty or give me death, those are Patrick Henry breathed words. When you say, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, those are God breathed words. I don't care how many times you print them, reprint them, translate them, retranslate them. Those are God-breathed words. And, we have a copy of we've got a copy of the Word of God in my hands. I have it. It's here. The inspired, infallible, preserved Word of God. Inspiration doesn't do you any good without... it's either inspired or expired, one of the two. It's sure and expired. You say, well, Brother Jorgensen, don't you have an open mind? No, I settled it. My heart's fixed. I'm a King James Bible. When I was a lad, my mama gave me a King James Bible, and she said, son, this is the inspired Word of God. Every word in it's true. You say, well, that's pretty simple, Brother Jorgensen. I've gotten older. I've studied Hebrew. I've taught Greek. Have you had me in Greek? I didn't teach it real long. We hired somebody else to do that. But I taught it a year down at Tennessee Temple and a while at Hiles Anderson. And my mama was right. My heart's fixed on my King James Bible. I've read the answer key. I know the answer. I'm not going to rethink it. I don't have an open mind. It's just settled. My heart's fixed on door-to-door soul winning. I believe Acts 5:42, daily in the temple and every house they cease not to teach and preach Jesus Christ. I believe in soul winning. confronting, and somebody said, well, that sounds like a negative word. I don't know what word you want to use, but, taking my gospel tract and going up to somebody and giving it to them and saying there's Bible verses in there to let you know how you go to heaven. Wouldn't that be a good thing to know? I don't have long, but I'd like to take a few minutes, let you know how you could go to heaven. Wouldn't you like to know that? And sometimes people say, no, I don't have the time. We were out going door to door in Ohio last Friday, Thursday it was. Every day runs, they're all the same. You get up, load the van, drive a few hundred miles, unload the van, sing, preach, find a motel room. And so, but anyhow, we were out soul winning in there and knocked on door after door and, you know, wasn't getting anywhere. Met a couple people. They weren't interested, didn't have time. But I found a couple of ladies after knocking some more doors that said, sure. A few minutes later, they were praying, trusting Christ as Savior. We stopped for ice cream the other, you know, recently with the group. We like to stop for food and stop for ice cream. And one of the girls said, Brother Jorgensen, I'm going to go back and get a track. I'm going to give it to these teenagers over here. Instead of having her go back to the van, I handed her a couple out of my pocket. She went over, went through the gospel with them. And while somebody else held her melting ice cream, two of those teenagers prayed and trusted Christ as Savior. Because somebody believed in... And one of the girls said, oh, could we stop for ice cream again? I'll witness to somebody next time. I don't know if that's a burden for souls or ice cream. I'm not sure. Now, she's a soul winner. And, say, well, Brother Jordan, you don't have to do that anymore. We've got television programs. I'm in favor of gospel TV. We broadcast our services on, we have a gospel television program out of Clay's Mill. So we got radio. We've got a radio program. I'm in favor of radio. Say, well, now we do it with fellowships and parties. I like fellowships and parties. I like eating the ice cream. I like Starbucks coffee. I like Dunkin' Donuts. it's food. I like it. But none of that replaces soul winning. And I don't know what you want to call it when you're going to just hang around somebody long enough till they ask you or say, you know, would you mind if I came to your church so I could get saved? Or are you going to go to them and say, why don't you come to my church? This is ours from Lexington. Why don't you come to our church? Matter of fact, I'd be glad to take a minute and show you out of the Bible how you can know you're saved. And it's not complicated. It doesn't have to take 4 hours. I mean, you read John 3 where Jesus talked to Nicodemus. You read it real slowly. It doesn't take an hour. You can presume there were things said that aren't recorded, but it wasn't a long time. And, I believe in soul winning. My heart is fixed on my King James Bible. My heart is fixed on soul winning. I heard one Baptist preacher say, one thing I've learned all these years is that soul winning or visitation, I think he called it, doesn't work. And I thought, buddy, it doesn't work if you don't work it. But you go out and invite people to church, witness, win souls. It works. And I'm glad it does. My heart is fixed on my King James Bible. My heart is fixed on door-to-door soul winning. My heart is fixed on the bus ministry and reaching poor people. Brother Fugit made a statement a while back. In fundamentalism, when we get to the place we just count tithers? Well, how many did you have in church? How many of them came on buses? Who cares? You know, we had big day several years ago at Clay's Mill, and our big days are bigger than this now. We had 1804. Somebody said, well, how many did you have on buses? That day it was 950. To the glory of God. You want to know how many came in a Lexus, too? We had those. You want to know how many came in Cadillac? We have those Lincolns. We got those around the parking lot. What difference does it make? Soul's a soul. My heart, Psalm 41:1 says, blessed is he that considereth the poor. You don't have to read your Bible much at all, especially Psalms or Proverbs. Figure out God loves poor people. You go out and do something for some wealthy man, you can't help but have in the back of your mind, I wonder. I've been around and known people, see them pass out $100 bills like I'd pass out ones. And you can't help but think, I wonder if he's going to give me one of those. I wonder if she's going to give me one of those. You go out and do something for somebody that doesn't have two nickels to rub together. You're doing that for God. God says, I'll take care of you. My wife and I have been married 45 years. We'll be 45 years August 2nd this year. We've tried to spend our life taking care of our college kids. Our three kids, our college kids, and our bus kids, we've let God take care of us. God does a marvelous job. My heart is fixed on the bus ministry reaching poor people. God blesses the individual that cares for the poor. God blesses the church that cares for the poor. I mean, He just does. You go out and help some wealthy man's son, He's going to help you, I think. You go out and help some child of God's. I mean, the unsaved are His child and that He created them. They're not saved yet. But you go out and help some poor kid here on the earth, God's going to help you. I mean, just I believe in bus ministry reaching poor people. My wife and I visit on a bus route in Lexington just about every Saturday we're in town. I mean, we get out and visit on a bus route ourselves, knock on the doors, get folks to come to church. Not all of our visitors come, but some do. Not everybody we witness to gets saved, but some do. And I believe my heart is fixed on my King James Bible. My heart is fixed on door-to-door soul winning. My heart is fixed on preaching. 2 Timothy 4:2-4 says, preach the word. Be instant in season, out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort. Jesus preached the word. Mark 2:2. He called the 12 to preach. Mark 3:13. And I, you know, somebody says, Brother Jorgensen, you're talking about preaching? You're talking about, you know, general talk? I believe in preaching. Preaching a heaven that's real, that has streets of gold, and a hell that's hot. Everybody's going to one or the other, and the difference is whether or not you trust Christ as your Savior. I don't mind dramas. Our Christian school puts on a couple plays a year. I enjoy going to them when I can, try and get there. I don't mind musicals. I enjoy those. We do a musical cantata every year at Christmas and sometimes another time or two during the year. I don't mind, you know, the suave talks. They're kind of interesting. But none of that replaces preaching of the Word of God. So, Brother Jorgensen, you know, make sure you don't offend anybody in your preaching. And that seems kind of be the going around sometime in independent Baptist churches. So, you know, you just got to be nice. And I don't want to try. I don't mean to offend anybody. But if telling them the truth offends them, then that's the problem with the truth, not with me. You know, somebody forgot to tell Jesus about not offending anybody when he went into the temple, found the money changers there. Said, my house shall be called a house of prayer. You made it a den of thieves. He might have offended them. Somebody forgot to tell Jesus not to be sure you don't offend anybody when he looked at the Pharisees and said, you're of your father the devil. Talk about in your... I mean, I've never said... I won't even look at the crowd when I say that. I mean, talk about in-your-face preaching. Somebody forgot to tell Peter, make sure you don't offend anybody, when he stood up on Pentecost and said, you bunch of rascals just killed the Messiah. He might have offended them. And he probably did offend some. But 3,000 got saved and baptized. Again, I don't believe in trying to be offensive for the sake of being offensive or trying to be obnoxious. But I do believe in preaching. I believe in preaching of the Word of God. I just do. My heart is fixed on preachings. My heart is fixed on the local church. Matthew 16:18, Jesus said, on this rock I will build my church. I believe that I believe independent, fundamental Baptist church, the local church. I think you ought to attend the church. You ought to build your life around it. You ought to plan your, you know, what you do around going to church. You ought to be here when the doors are open. You ought to get involved in the soul winning program. You ought to get involved in the ministries. You ought to give your money to the church. You ought to, you know, tithe. You certainly ought to tithe. You ought to support the other needs and offerings. Somebody gets up and says, and I don't know if you're even having a building program, but this is what I believe. And somebody gets up and says, we're trying to raise money for, I'll say, amen. Say, God, how much you want me to give? I mean, I'm going to give, Brother Fugit's raising money for, if he's raising money for something at our church, I'm going to give something. I mean, I may have a big part, small part, bigger part in some, smaller part in the other, but I'm going to support the program. I believe in the local church. I wouldn't miss church to save money on an airplane flight. I wouldn't miss church to get someplace more quickly. I wouldn't miss church to spend an extra 4 hours with my family. I wouldn't say, well, you know, this, I wouldn't miss Chris. You know, some folk missing church because it's Christmas. You know, I can't go to church. I got to celebrate Jesus' birthday. Right? It's Christmas. We got to celebrate His birthday, so we can't go to church. I mean, you ought to build your life around the local church. It's the only organization to which God promised perpetuity. It's going to go on forever. He promised power. You ought to attend it. You ought to support it. My heart is fixed on my local church. I'm a member. My wife and I are members of Clay's Mill Road Baptist Church. I support it. Give it. Tithe to it. You know, give extra to it. I mean, that's my church. If I'm out of town, like, you know, I mean, we go to church. We say, do you ever go on vacation? Sometimes we go to church. Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night. Rule of my life. My heart is fixed on my King James Bible. My heart is fixed on door-to-door soul winning. My heart is fixed on the bus ministry reaching poor people. My heart is fixed on preaching. My heart is fixed on a local church. My heart is fixed on righteous living and standards. Say, Brother Jorgensen, don't you know it's 2016? I'm not that dumb. I know. Don't you know it's 20th century? No, it's 21st century. But, you know, God's Word hasn't changed. I mean, I think Lester Roloff said, why would I change if it was right when I started? You know, if it was right when I started, why would I change? Say, well, but, you know, today we have different standards in our... Oh, God's standards are the same. God doesn't change. My heart's fixed on righteous living and standards. Noah was a preacher of righteousness. 2 Peter 2:5. Jesus said, seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, Matthew 6:33. If you're not seeking God's righteousness, as far as that goes, if I'm not preaching to the college students where I preach or here and there, where if I'm not preaching righteous living, I'm cheating them out of the blessings of God. Because it says, seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. So if you're not seeking His righteousness, you're going to miss out on all those things. So if I'm not preaching, I'm cheating people. Look, there's nothing like the blessing of God in your life. Nothing like the joy of serving God. You know, I like the song they sang, my, my, as an opener. What a joy to serve my Jesus. Oh, that I could explain the way I feel, rejoicing in unspeakable joy and full of glory. It's amazing, but praise God, I know it's real. You walk away from a house or a situation, somebody trusts Christ as Savior, and you feel like God used me. Nothing like that joy. You get somebody in your office and you counsel with them and they listen to you and you feel like God used me today. Sometimes you bring my word, you know, bring somebody in, they messed up a little bit, did something, you think, what were you thinking? No, the answer to that, you weren't thinking. You scold and correct a little bit. They take it. You're like, God used me. And it's part of growing, isn't it? You get corrected. I mean, I got corrected. Get corrected sometimes. And anyhow, if my heart is fixed on righteous living and standards. I believe in it. I still think that men ought to look like men. Women ought to look like women. I still think that marriage is for one man and one woman, and it's for life. You know, I mean, I still believe you ought to get married pure. So, oh, no, you don't. God's Word doesn't change. The Bible teaches that marriage is exclusive. You know, when I stood, my wife and I stood in front of Dr. Lee Robertson at the Highland Park Baptist Church on August 2nd, 1971, and he said, wilt thou, you know, take this woman, be thy wedded wife, forsaking all, a bunch of other stuff, forsaking all others, keep thyself only unto her so long as I both shall live. Do you so promise? I said, I do. He asked her the same question. She said, yep, or I do, or I will, or something. She just said, I want him. Get through it. Maybe it was the other way around. But I said, I made a commitment there. My heart's fixed on Marilyn Hicks and Jorgensen. So don't you have an open mind? Nope. My heart's fixed. You know, the Bible teaches marriage is exclusive and marriage is permanent. Totally opposite what the world teaches. And I realize, you know, a lot of you preach any church, you got folks where you'd say, well, that would have been ideal, but it wasn't my case. All you can do is go on from where you are. All of us have made decisions in our life that we would go back and say, oh, I shouldn't have done that. That one didn't work out well. All you can do is go on from where you are. And in any area of life. And all of us have to do that from time to time. But anyhow, the Bible teaches the ideal, you know, that marriage is one man, one woman for life. I still think alcohol's out of hell. I still think gambling is a sin. I still think drugs are wicked. I still think Hollywood is messed up as it can be. I still believe in my heart is fixed on my King James Bible and door-to-door soul. I believe those things. I'm settled on them. And I think preaching in a church like this, probably most all of you would say, Brother Jorgensen, I believe the same thing. Let me come back and ask you a little bit here, and I'll be finishing up pretty soon. But, you know, it's one thing to say, yep, I believe all that, and then it's another thing to apply it. You know what I mean? My heart's fixed on my King James Bible. I believe that when I pick up my King James Bible, I've got a copy of the inspired Word of God in my hand. You know, if I don't ever read it, it doesn't do me much good. And I can say amen and preach like this and get somebody to say amen. But if I don't read it and meditate on it, live my life by it, it doesn't do me much good. I can say my heart is fixed on door-to-door soul winning. But it's a lot easier to preach that than it is to go out and do it sometimes. Because you get busy, you get sidetracked, you got other things going. And you know, it's sometimes you feel awkward taking a tract and talking to your neighbor. And or somebody at work, and it feels a little bit awkward, you look at those teenagers sitting there when you stop for ice cream, and you say, "Nah, they probably wouldn't listen anyhow." But maybe somebody ought to take track and go over and say, "Well, let me see how far they'll let me get." And my heart's fixed on door-to-door soul winning. Sometimes I have to come to the altar and kneel and say, "God, help me do more of it." Personally, I mean, it's great to be a member of a soul-winning church, but it's another thing to be a soul winner. And I'm sure Clay's Mill Road Baptist Church, I mean, we're a soul-winning church. But I'm sure not everybody in the church wins souls. And I'm also sure, at Clay's Mill, I'm also sure that that this preacher sometimes doesn't win souls and doesn't pursue it as actively as I would wish I had or want to or should. My heart's fixed on my King James Bible. My heart's fixed on door-to-door soul winning. My heart's fixed on the bus ministry reaching poor people. Maybe God's going to speak to somebody's heart tonight about getting more involved in the bus ministry or getting into that. And, you know, it's God blesses church. And one of the reasons God blesses your church is you love the bus kids. You love the poor people. I was sitting on a platform at Clay's Mill one night about over here and looking out, and I'm older, and the men in the church, the couples in the church that my wife and I, you know we hang around. I mean, they're our age. And plus or minus a little bit. And I'm thinking, he's a millionaire. I mean, not necessarily him, but the fellow there in church. Yeah, he's a millionaire. He's a millionaire. He's a millionaire. I don't know if he's a million or not, but he's worth plenty. And I'm going around counting like that. I said to Brother Fugit one day, I said, "Preacher, you know, it's amazing to me, as much as we talk about the bus ministry and reaching poor people, how many wealthy people we've got in this church." Brother Fugit said, "You know, that's the way it always is." He reads his Bible more than I do, I guess. He said, "That's the way it always is. Jesus went to the poor. The rich came to him." And one of the reasons the rich people have come into our church, we don't necessarily go see, I mean, we go after everybody. But we spend our emphasis probably going after poor people, and then the rich people say, "I like what they're doing with the poor people. I want to have a part of that. I want to give towards that. I want to be a member of a church like that." And God sends them in to pay the bills. You know, you go after the poor people, God will take care of your needs. And my heart's fixed. Maybe God's speaking to your heart about getting more involved in bus ministry or things in dealing with the church or with standards. And again, it's easy to say and to preach. It's easy to preach. You know, my heart's fixed on all these things. Sometimes it's hard to get up in the morning and read your Bible. You know, having a copy of the inspired, infallible Word of God on your coffee table or your nightstand doesn't do you any good if you don't read it. Believing in preaching doesn't do you any good if you don't come and listen, let God speak to your heart while it's going on, and say, "God, help me be more like you. Help me be a better Christian." Let's bow our heads for a word of prayer. heads bowed and eyes closed. I wonder if there's somebody here tonight who would say, Brother Jorgensen, God did speak to my heart some way about that. My Bible reading, my soul winning ministry, church involvement, something. God spoke to my heart in some specific way. I want to do something about it. I'd like to pray for you. Would you raise your hand? See several hands around, several more. Anybody else? God speak to your heart about something like that. Wonder if there's anybody here tonight would say, Brother Jorgensen, you talked about soul winning and somebody knowing they're going to heaven. If I died tonight, I'm not sure whether or not I'd go to heaven. I want to go to heaven, but I don't know if I would. If that's you, I'd like to pray for you. Would you raise your hand? I want to go to heaven, but I don't know if I would. Okay, let's stand with heads bowed and eyes closed. I'm going to pray, and then after I pray, the pianist will begin to play. When she does, if you raise your hand and made a decision, I'd invite you to come down here and kneel at the altar. Settle it here. I know you make decisions in your seat. There's something about coming to an altar that does us all good from time to time. Heavenly Father, help us not just to believe the Bible, but to read it, meditate in it, live by it. Not just to believe in soul winning, but to do it. Not just to enjoy preaching on standards, but to live it. Help us to serve you and be faithful, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. As she begins to play, if God spoke to your heart, why don't you come on down and kneel here at the altar again. I know you make decisions in your seat. There's something about coming to an altar. Does all of us good. You reading your Bible? You praying? Are you witnessing? Do you carry tracts with you? You're not sure about salvation? Come down here, see the pastor standing in the middle. He'll help you with that. He'll have somebody talk to you, pray with you about it. Not sure you're on your way to heaven?